Hi there. My name is Trent Brock, and I am a international business entrepreneur and a three-time cancer overcomer. And I am so excited to be on Conversations with Pearl today.
Hey everybody, it's Pearl, and welcome again to another Conversations with Pearl. And I am so excited to bring an amazing guest who's going to give you some great inspiration. And if you think you've had a rough day, I'm going to tell you that your day is going to get better, because for what his story is, if he can overcome what he's overcome, you can overcome anything. So my guest today is Trent Brock. He's originally from Louisiana, and he considers himself a little bit of a redneck Southern gentleman. He is also a world traveler and small business international entrepreneur, owning and operating a kettle corn manufacturing company in New Zealand for over 13 years. He was the first person to bring kettle corn, which is my favorite type of corn, by the way, to New Zealand over 13 years ago. Trent is also a three-time cancer overcomer. Hip cancer left him with the physical challenge of left leg 4 inches shorter than the other, lung, and then pancreatic cancer, which is less than 5% chance to beat it. And he is on today. So I'm so excited to have you here, Trent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here, Pearl.
It's awesome to see you. And so we're going to get to kettle corn and your story, but just tell us a little bit about your background and what was like three-time cancer overcomer. I mean, you know, tell us a little bit. I want to talk about that and a little bit of your journey. So if you want to start there, let's go right ahead and start there.
Yeah, sure. You know, so I'm originally from the South, and I stayed around there until I graduated from college, and then I moved over to Dallas, and I graduated with a software business IT background degree. And so I travel around the world. I travel around the States for about 4 or 5 years, and I travel around, you know, the world doing large IT systems. And I kind of settled in New Zealand, of all places. I wanted to go down under. I'd been to Europe. I've lived in Europe, and I travel around Europe, and I kind of wanted to do the down under thing. So I was kind of over down there and in Asia and doing that. And this opportunity came up to start this kettle corn business. I met a guy in the boxing gym. I've always been very active. And I just met these American guys that had come down to prepare for some fights. So they were there for a couple months. And the manager was like, I got to know him, and I took some private training with him, and I trained with him while they were training for their fights. And it was just a cool experience for me, really. And so the manager just said, hey, look, on the side, I do kettle corn in my home state of Washington. Do you think it would work here? I just went out on the weekends. I looked around the markets. I looked at the supermarket. And, you know, it was just one of those moments where you just know, I don't know how this is going to work, but I know it's going to work. And so, I wanted to transition out of IT, 10 years in that, you know, pressure cooker kind of environment, really tough, really stressful. And so I wanted to do my own thing, and I just didn't know what it was. And I said, let's give this a try. So we started going out to the markets, and it just built from there. And it's just turned into this gigantic thing of 2 factories, 4 popcorn lines, about 15 staff. We supply all of New Zealand, parts of Asia, parts of the Middle East. It's just crazy. So in the spring of 2019, I start limping around my factory. And I'm very active. I lead by example. I lead from the front. You know, I do everything in a small business. That's what you kind of have to do, as you probably know, that you wear many hats. And so I'm starting limping around. I went to 3 different doctors. They're all giving me the same diagnosis. You've got a torn butt muscle. And it just kept getting worse, and it just kept getting worse, and over a couple months. And so I had to go into the hospital to have some blood work done. And the hematologist is just like, hey, man, you're getting an x-ray today. We kind of bickered about it a little bit. And I just said, hey, you know, whatever, I'll get an x-ray for you. So she calls, about a week later, and I'm at my factory, actually headed to lunch. And, it's that cliche about, you know, the call to change your life. And that's when my life really took another direction. And she said, hey, look, you've got a large void in your hip. It appears to be cancer. And you have a 1/4 inch of a bone holding it on. Every step that you take. You are in danger of breaking your hip. If you do that, the leg's coming off. You need to get to the emergency room right now. So straight to the hospital, and it's public health care. So it's a good and a bad thing, but it's slow. You know, it's a government entity, and we know from any experience that we have that all government things run on a pace much slower than we expect, and that includes healthcare. So I was in and out of the hospital over 6 months. They wanted me to stay in, and I'm like, I've got to run a business, and I can't sit around. I don't lay around, and so I was back in, and I'm back out. The pain would bring me in, and then I couldn't handle it, and I'm in and out. So eventually, about the third time through, so the plan was, we're going to take out the hip, we're going to do an implant. Okay, well, about the third time I would get ready to go to surgery, and we would do some X-rays and stuff, and they're like, oh, well, the cancer's progressed, this won't fit. So then we start over. Third time through, they just said, look, hey, man, it's just too far gone, and we're cutting your leg off. And by that time, I kind of gotten a little smarter, because a lot of times, when it's intense like this, you go into these appointments, right? And they are major decision, crossroads. And, you go in kind of thinking this, and they say something, it blindsides you. And then I would kind of blank out, right? And I have a 30-minute appointment with the doctor, and I leave, and I'm like, what do we talk about? And so I get my parents on the phone. So they were my support group. They were my support system. And, it's something that they really push in New Zealand, is bring a support person. I'm like, well, I'm bringing my parents on the phone. So, I got kind of smart. My dad was on the call, and he just said, look, you're not cutting this guy's leg off. He's a fighter. He's not a quitter. You've been promising us for 6 months you're going to put an implant in. You can't put an implant in, but you're not cutting the leg off. If not, I'm putting them on a plane and flying them home. Figure it out, doc. This is what you've been promising us. This is what we got to do. So, he went away, and he came back several days later. And he said, look, I'll leave the leg, but no promises, right? I'm not going to promise how it's going to function. Feeling, I can't tell you what it's going to do. It's probably going to be more like a stump than anything else, but hey, basically we're going to cut it off. We'll sew it back on and leave it. Okay. And so at least they left the leg there for me. And I was in and out of the hospital. I was in the hospital about 4 months with that. I got an infection in the hospital, and that I had several surgeries, just couldn't get rid of it. Took the IV antibiotics, did everything we could do. It never cleared up. And, they let me out of the hospital. And, I was working the whole time. I was working from my hospital bed. There was things at that time in the business that no one could do. And, it's like, were you going to shut the doors, or, you're going to keep going? And, if you've been in the hospital, you spend a lot of time just waiting. And so when I was waiting, I was working, and it was good for me that I was able to have my mind on another focus instead of just sitting there and just obsessing over my situation.
Yeah.
So I get out, folks go home and COVID hits. Oh, my next scan, I come up with pancreas and lung cancer at the same time.
Wow. Okay?
And COVID hits. And so in the middle of that, we're on lockdown. And so, they locked us down like caged animals in New Zealand. I had a pancreas surgery that ended up being a misdiagnosis. They cut out half of my pancreas and spleen, and basically, tried to spin it on me when we talked about, the post-op, kind of appointment deal. They just said, congratulations, you don't have cancer. And I just said, well, what was it? And basically they just kind of arrogantly said it was a blood clot. And you can't do anything, right? What are you going to do? It's public health care. I mean, you can't sue people. The thing is, the problem with a lot of the public thing is there's no motivation, okay, to do anything. And then the consequences are nothing. So, you know, people have to be held to a standard, or they just don't care. And, I got into one of those situations. So, my health is obviously compromised for the remainder of my time on Earth. And, but we got through that, and I just tried to focus on the positive. You don't have cancer, you're still here.
Right.
And so then it was the lung thing. And so several months later, I went in, I had the lung surgery. Well, the orthopedic that had done my leg surgery was like, you know, I had been kind of avoiding it for a year. You know, they wanted to do something again. I was like, you guys have had all your chances. I'm not doing another surgery with you.
Right.
You know, I'm eventually going to go back to the States. So he got me after I come in for the lung surgery. And, you know, I just wasn't thinking straight. I had nobody around. And he just said, look, we're going to go in. And, you know, I do use some props and things. Well, anyways, I can't seem to, I don't know where I dropped my folder. So anyways, it's ridiculous. They had tied a wire to my hip. And he's like, this is what's causing the infection. So they went in and they took it out. Well, when they went in and took it out, they had a junior surgeon do it. It caused me a hernia, which means my bowel was hanging over my hip. Golly, man, I'd really like to be able to. Let me just give me a second here, bro.
Okay.
For this thing. I don't know where I put the dang thing. Well, anyways. Oh, yeah. This, you know, I mean, I'm on a lot of meds right now.
Yeah.
And I know I am not totally on my game. But anyways, I think this kind of helps people if they're looking visually. So if you can see that, okay, that's the wire that they put in.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I put that in. I thought that was a good idea. It helped my leg because it put me in a shoe that was like this. So, you know, like I wear Crocs because I couldn't touch my feet for years. And so a regular shoe turned into that.
Wow.
Okay. So I had a little rise. Okay. No big deal. Well, they took the wire out, and then so there's nothing to hold it. So it turned in from that into this.
Oh my gosh.
Just so you can see, there is no pelvis.
Right.
And my bone just continued to migrate upwards. So, you know, I recently had a surgery in the States, which is a miracle. It turned into from that shoe into that shoe.
Oh my gosh. That's like five inches higher.
Yeah, like over 4 inches, you know?
Right.
And I mean, it's like walking on a skyscraper all the time. But hey, I'm still on my feet, right? I'm not in a wheelchair.
Right.
Because, you know, you just, you know, it's like I couldn't get to the. And so, anyways, I had that surgery, and this is what it caused, this hernia.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Now it's a miracle that the skin even grew over. I've had a lot of doctors just go like, how did that even heal up? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
The body's an amazing thing.
I mean, it took, you know, 5 or 6 months, you know, but it did. And so yeah, they had gone in and they did the surgery, and it caused bladder issues, caused all sorts of stuff. And So a 2 week deal turned into 2.5 months. And basically the heart surgeon, no bedside manner, one day he came in and he said, hey, look, tomorrow we're discharging you. And I'm like, well, I've got an IV thing in my arm. Well, like I do right now. I've got an IV thing in my arm. I got an open wound on my back. I got an open wound on my leg from the surgeries. And I've got a vacuum thing on my leg where I'm having to carry this machine around. I'm on crutches. I can barely get back and forth between the bathroom. And he's like, somebody needs this bed more than you do. You're out of here tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, okay. So that's what happened. Well, they didn't send me home with any medication. Okay. And what happened was they used methadone, which, you know, most people know methadone as a treatment for people that have an opiate or a heroin addiction.
Right.
Well, it's a great pain reliever, but it is very addictive and it takes a long time to get off of it. I was on it with my first leg surgery, you know, the year or so before, had no issues. Okay. Well, they didn't send me home with any. About 3 days, I started having like crackhead withdrawal symptoms. And I'm like literally in my office at my factory in my underwear, right? In my underwear in my office with the door closed, typing, sweating.
Wow.
And it hit me and I'm like, I'm having withdrawal.
Right.
So, you know, it's this rigmarole. Like the hospital had released me. And in New Zealand, when they send you home from the hospital, okay, they basically won't give you anything but Tylenol. Okay.
Oh, wow.
They are super, super over the top concerned about you getting hooked on anything and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, they didn't send me home with any methadone. And so I had to do this rigmarole, like talking to the hospital and talking to the GP, because I wasn't under the hospital's care and they weren't going to take me back.
Right.
Because they had just kicked me out. And so I went through this process of like trying to get to the pharmacy, trying to get these prescriptions filled, and they would give me enough to like get me through like a couple of days. Right. And I'm talking like a dropper thing. Okay.
Right.
I went through that for a couple of weeks, and you know, the way they were treating me at the pharmacy and the stuff, I just got angry and I got frustrated. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this the hard way. It took me about 6 weeks. And I'm telling you, of all the stuff I've dealt with, and, you know, obviously I've dealt with a lot of health stuff.
Right.
The mental deal, the physical stuff of the withdrawal was tough, right? The hot, cold, the chills, the anger, the crazy emotions, all that kind of stuff. But the suicidal thing, I almost went over the edge.
Wow.
And, but I got through it. That took me probably 6-8 weeks to kind of get through that. So I'm telling you, if anybody's watching this deal and they have overcome any sort of an addiction, you know, man, I'm telling you, you are a winner.
Yeah.
You are tough. You are something, because that was the hardest thing for me of all the stuff. Okay.
Wow.
So, right. Okay. So, you know, we get through that, right? And then I have another scan. No, this time you really have pancreas cancer, Trent. You really do. And so I say, guys, well, you wouldn't let me do a biopsy last time. This time you got to do a biopsy, because if you cut out the rest of my pancreas, I'm a diabetic. You know, that causes other health issues, blah, blah, blah. My grandmother went out that way. I don't want to go out that way. And so So I finally, it's like anytime you go, it takes a month, couple months, anytime. Well, okay. So when they found this, when they found the pancreas cancer, it was on the scan, because I got smart. Okay. I started like, I want your test results. I want your clinical notes. Give me everything. And I'm not a doctor, but hey, if I can't understand a word, I Google it.
Right.
And I just break it down and I understand it. I don't need to understand everything, but I understand enough. Right. Because I want to know what's exactly going on. So I get my scans and I'm like reading the results. Okay. When it starts out, that is how big it was. Okay. After about 4 months, it was this big. Wow. While they're trying to tell me we're going to do a biopsy. We're not going to do biopsy. We're going to do biopsy. Okay.
So basically from like a little bit more than a quarter thick. To a tennis ball.
That's two nickels on its side, which is like not even a quarter inch.
Right.
To a tennis ball.
Right. Okay.
Obviously, this starts affecting, you know, my diet. I can't eat. You know, my stomach's hurting all the time. And so I go in. I'm like, you know what? This is getting serious. I mean, like, you know, so I went to a private radiologist guy, and he said, look, hey, your last scan, it says this is growing into your stomach. We won't do anything for you. I'm like, what about the radiation we've been talking about and I've been asking for since we started this whole journey, you know, 5 months ago, you know? And he just said, won't risk it. He said, we could burn a hole through you. And he said, you could die on the operating table. And I'm not doing that. And I said, well, okay, well, I don't want surgery. Well, what about surgery? And he said, well, I won't recommend surgery either, because again, we're going to have to cut through your stomach. It's an organ that a lot of times, you know, we couldn't get it to stop bleeding, could bleed on the operating table. I'm not going to do that. And I said, okay, so what are my options? He's like, you can go home. And pancreas cancer with treatment, okay, is less than a 5% chance.
Right.
This guy's telling me to go home with no treatment, basically telling me to go home and wait to die. And that's what I asked him. That's what I asked him. And he said, hey, look, there's nothing I can do for you. I said, okay. So basically you're sending me home to wait to die. And I'll tell you what, you know, that put me into a depression, that put me into a tailspin. And, you know, I had to really dig inside myself, because, you know, I'm a fighter, man. And, you know, I don't quit. And, you know, I think back to what those things my dad said, you know, that this guy's a fighter, he's not a quitter. And, you know, I just, you know, I was doing the best I could with what I could, you know, and, you know, with my diet and, you know, trying my exercise and, you know, my spiritual side and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I just, I started hanging around the house and not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of started waiting. And that destroyed me mentally. And I was on the phone with my folks after an appointment, you know, with the public pancreas doctor. And you know what? The hopelessness and the helplessness and, you know, what I could hear in their voice that their son is going to die.
And then you're across the country, right? You're across the world.
Halfway across the world. We can't even get in the country, right?
Right.
It's locked down. And you know, I was like, well, I can't get insurance in the States. I haven't even lived in the States in 15 years.
Right.
I don't have insurance. I've got insurance in this country. I guess they'll just send me home in a box. And, you know, and so I sat around for a couple of weeks and, you know, I was on this conversation with my folks and I just thought, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm just going to keep trying until my last breath.
Right.
And, and so I made a decision at that point. That's when things changed. You know, I was back and forth, you know, I was like, you know, what am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this? This indecision thing. And when you're in the middle of indecision, it's right. The worst.
Right.
I would rather make a bad decision and live with it. Right.
Right.
The no decision. But I made a decision and I started changing things. Right. I started changing. I did the best I could with my diet. I started trying to do yoga. Okay. I couldn't even bend over. I couldn't touch my toes. Okay. Right. But I started doing like 5 minutes of yoga a day. On my birthday, I started going to the gym. And, you know, I did what I could. I started filling myself up with, you know, with positive things, with positive music. I'm a Christian. And so, you know, I have that side for me. And so I started listening to sermons and I found people online, you know, and I'd look online and I'm like, you know what? I just got to find somebody that's beat this. If they did, I can do this.
Right.
You know, because I'm trying, you know, I did the best I could with my diet. You know, and so, you know, I'm listening to self-help stuff, positive stuff. You know, I cut out the friends of mine that were negative. I cut out the negative stuff in my life that was negative. I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm going to win this. So my dad started talking. You know, he said, hey, you know what? He said, you know, you haven't lived here in forever, but, you know, they've changed some of the medical things that you may not know about. He said, you ought to look in to see if you can get insurance. So I started looking into it. You know, with some of the things that have changed with insurance over the years, with pre-existing conditions, you can get insurance that is affordable,
right?
But very expensive, right?
Right.
So you're not going to like, it's not going to be one of these sad stories where, you know, you can't, you know, like you can't get healthcare and you're going to die because you don't have the money, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I decided to come home. I just decided, you know, I my business is running and I came home. And so we went in to see, I said, you know what? I mean, where am I going to go? Am I going to be MD Anderson? Am I going to go to Cleveland Clinic? Am I going to go to Mayo or what am I going to do here? And I thought, I'm starting at home. I want to be at home. My parents were there with me in New Zealand. It was so hard on them. Four months, all the way across the world, sleeping in hotel rooms, you know, with me at the hospital. I'm like, you know, I just want to be at home. So we started at home. And I went in and, you know, I saw this guy, this radiologist guy, man, he's kind of a little country fellow. My folks live in Northwest Arkansas. And he just said, look, he said, by this time, okay, I'm going to show you, by this time, this is how big.
Wow. Baseball. Wow.
That's a softball.
Right. Okay?
So he said, look, he said, man, if we don't zap this thing soon, it's going to get you. And I said, well, what about all these things? And I said, what about all these things that they're worried about in New Zealand? He said, hey, we got pretty good machinery here. And I think we can do this. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to put my trust in you. And we zapped it. I had to wait about 3 months for the scans to come in for the results. Now, that was hard.
Right. Right.
And so we beat it. And and then I had a chronic infection in my hip that I had from New Zealand. You know, I got a hold of some good doctors here. We put some antibiotics that weren't on and I had to take, you know, like a super long course of IV antibiotics. We got that. And the reason I wanted to do that is because I want to fix this leg. Okay. And so, so I found a doctor at Mayo after many, many appointments and much research. And we put in the largest Most complex hip implant ever done ever in the world.
Oh my gosh.
And I got about 3.5 inches back. So that was back in July. Okay. I'm coming back, man. I'm coming back with fury, you know?
Right.
I'm on the road back to recovery. You know, I had recently been diagnosed 2 years cancer free. Okay.
That's fantastic.
That's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. So, you know, big win on that. It's a big deal for in the oncology world of 2 years. That's a big marker for them. For me, the 3 month deal was like, we're done. I'll beat this. But you know, hey, you do what you do with the,
right.
with the specialist, with the experts, because that's not my specialty, because I'm a popcorn guy.
Yes.
And so I started having some fever and chills and things over the last couple months, and it took us a couple months to figure it out. Had an appointment at Mayo about 3 weeks ago, and they discovered that I had an infection in there. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. I had an 18 hours of surgery over 2 days.
Mm.
It's unfortunate to not, it's a chance that it would happen. It happened. So, you know, I'm kind of back to the drawing board on some of those things that I had to do to be cancer, you know, and,
right. Trent, your whole story, and you know, those that are listening, I mean, your story is so powerful, and I just want everybody to hear the entire story because, yeah. you know, it's a story of overcoming. It's a story of, you know, no right. matter what gets thrown at us, we can overcome. We can make a choice. We can make a choice to let it take us down. Or we can make a choice to overcome. We can make a choice to say mentally, I'm not feeling so hot, so I can get help. You know, and that's what I want. Those that are listening and those that are watching on YouTube, if you're listening, go come watch our YouTube channel, Conversations with Pearl, because the pictures are just like mind blowing. And you know, it's totally like, I was sitting there thinking, okay, first of all, let's start with you're in New Zealand and you start a kettle corn. First of all, I didn't know they have kettle corn everywhere in the world. So that was a new one for me. That's like my favorite corn. I love kettle corn over and it's so addicting.
Awesome. So
you start there and then you have this health journey. First, I want to ask before we go, revisit some of the health journey. So is the kettle corn company still running in New Zealand and you're just doing it from the States?
I have been running it remotely for 2.5 years almost. I can't believe it. You know, I have cameras, I'm still very involved, you know, and I'm still day to day with the team.
And I think that says a lot too about the team you built. So even through all of this adversity, you've built an amazing team that even your leadership, as sick as you've been and the things you've been challenged with, you've built a team that you've got great, you've put a great team together because to do this long distance, and then they have that faith in you that even though you're not there, they know that they can, they know that you trust them so much that they can still make this company run, which goes to a lot to say for those, you know, those of us that loved, you know, have always had those mentors and those leaders, that goes to show that you can be a leader no matter what's happening in your world and what's happening in your life. Right. And that's what you've done for them. And then to come through, I mean, you know, you're right. The public healthcare and, you know, without going down political alleys, that's one of the worries that I have here in our country is, you know, so many times, you know, there is conversation about changing our healthcare. And I hear stories like you, or I hear stories like I have a friend who her member is in Spain and she needs some sort of leg surgery and she can't get it for 2 years. Because of the public health care rules and stuff. So, you know, those things for you to work through and navigate through those challenges of healthcare in another country, right? Is just, you know, it's, and then dealing on top of the stress of, oh my gosh, you know, I've got this cancer and this isn't working and this, you know, all the things you've gone through, the surgeries and then sending you home without any kind of meds and having to do this whole withdrawal process. You know, it's a lot of people would say, why not just give up, Trent? Right? A lot of people would just be like, I'm just going to give up. This is, you know, it's sort of like with me last year when I lost my son at, you know, 25 years old in a tragic car accident. People probably would have been okay if Pearl sat in a bed all day long and was depressed and grieved, right?
Yeah.
And there are people, and those that are listening, if you are one of those those persons, I understand. And I'm sending you love and prayers. Because it is hard to move forward in life when you've come through a tragedy from like what you've been going through with cancer to a tragedy of losing a child or a divorce or whatever that tragedy is for you in your life. it can be hard, and sometimes it paralyzes us. And so if we and that's what I love. That's what I love. And what I do is the whole mental fitness part that I love to coach women on and be like, those judges and those saboteurs are telling you, yeah, you know what, Trent, I'm sorry, this has happened to you. This is, oh, woe is me. This is our life. Let me go home. Like the doctor said, and said, I'm just going to send you home and you're just going to die. But you can sage, the other part of your brain can help sage those thoughts to be like, I'm a fighter. I'm not giving up. Or like in my case, you know, my son saw me become my, you know, for the longest time, I lived behind titles of mom and wife, and they saw me become Pearl. They saw me discover who I was. You know, they saw me finally be able to grow up from as a little girl where I had to manage the family for my mom and dad and kind of be the little adult starting in fourth grade to finally, you know, in my 40s, discover that I didn't have to manage everybody, that I can manage Pearl and I can figure out who Pearl is. So for me, just like with you, Trent, it's like, I want to live my life with joy and happiness. And as these challenges come up, I want to tap into the mental fitness of how can I push through this, you know, take the saboteur, take the judge and sort of sage it and be like, no, we're not going down that rabbit hole. We're going to do anything and everything, including like you do go, you know what? I know I have this amazing company that we've grown and we've got here, but I have to go back home so that I can take care of me. And that's, you know, for those that are listening, Trent, that's powerful, because when we don't say we're going to take care of me first, then yeah, they might have sent you home in the box, like you said. They might have just said, send him on home. Right. Yeah.
I didn't want to leave my business. And you know what? I mean, I didn't want to come home and start over. I don't know anybody in Arkansas. I don't know a single person. Right. I know my parents.
Right.
My life is in New Zealand. I spent 15 years building my life,
right,
my friends, my company, you know, everything. You know, I mean, that's where my life was. That's where I'd still be.
Right. Right.
And you know, I had to come home and all that and start over as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that played on me too. That really did. You know, I was like, you know what? Do I just want to just stay here and see what happens? Or do I want to go home and start over? You know, because it was hard in New Zealand. You know, it took me probably 5 or 6 years to kind of get friends and, you know, kind of figure things out. And it was tough. I mean, you know, I just kept hanging in there. It's a different culture. It's different. You know, there are different people. And, you know, and it is what it is. I mean, you know, I can look back, think, you know, and see kind of what it was then. But, you know, like when you're in the middle of something, you just keep going, you know?
So, yeah. And I think that's the message I want everybody to understand today is that no matter what you're in the middle of, you know, and whether it's as serious as what Trent's gone through with cancer, you know, an overcoming cancer, or as simple as, you know, you just lost your, I mean, it's not simple to lose your job. Don't really correct that, but it can be, you know, losing your job. We have to remember that we have to do for us first and that we have to keep pushing forward and that we don't give up. Like if you're sitting and you're listening to this right now and you know, whatever it is you're going through, I just want you to know from both of us today that don't give up, because truly there are people out there that want to help you. You can reach out for help in no matter what area you are. I mean, you can, you know, reach us through the podcast or through here, through all the show notes. You can email hello@wsliving.com and just say Shiro, and, you know, we'll help you with that. But, you know, Trent, that's why I wanted you on the show, you know, because as you and I talked before we got on the show, most of the guests are women, but I want everybody to understand that we all go through stuff, including men, because, you know, oftentimes men don't talk about what's mentally bothering them. I mean, you know, my husband, you know, he's had a lot of tragic losses in his life from, you know, growing up to now our son. And he, you know, doesn't really talk. And yesterday he got up and I said, so how's it going today? And he's like, life. And that's his word to me to say, I'm having a tough day about Matthew being not here anymore. And so I give him that space. And I said, I'm like, I'm glad you say that to me. And he's like, well, I don't really like to tell you because I don't want to get you depressed. I'm like, no, I need you to communicate that to me so I can support you. And you don't feel like you have to go through this alone. And that's, you know, that's a big thing for men to be able to go, I need help. And I feel like maybe that's one of the positive things that have come out of COVID, that people have said, I was stuck inside for whatever crazy reason, whatever country you're in or whatever state you're in. I had to be stuck inside. And I realized there's things I need to deal with. And it's okay to ask for help. And that's, you know, that's a powerful, powerful message. And so tell everybody, like, if you could say, you know, out of all of this, what's a takeaway? So I'm going to ask you this. So I often ask this question. If tomorrow you were no longer with us for whatever reason, God decided that it was time for you to come home, or whoever you're listening to, whoever you believe in who's listening. But if tomorrow we are at your eulogy and all your family and friends could say about what they saw you do for yourself, and based on what you've gone through and, you know, your story and your journey of overcoming the cancer and, you know, the challenges you've had with dealing with that healthcare, what would you hope some of the things people would say about you?
Oh gosh, that's an interesting question, you know, and, I would, you know, I thought what I'm going to have on my tombstone, because they gave me a year and it was quite sure. And I just thought, he never quit, you know, and, he never gave up, you know, he fought to his last breath. And, you know, I think that, you know, I've kind of, my focus has shifted a little bit, and, not a little bit, quite a bit, I'd say. Cause, you know, I was into, you know, being whatever this successful means, right? You know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, to be successful and to make money and to do all this. And so I was working, you know, in this business and whatever I'm doing to try to find whatever that means. Really, for me, it's about helping people along your journey. I've found that when I'm even like this, even in this thing, that when I am thinking about others and helping others, it's helping me actually. It's just one of those things where it's kind of like you're being a servant leader, if you will. And, you know, I find a lot of my comfort in knowing that, you know, I'm helping others. And I feel like that's kind of my focus now is that, you know, he took people with him on his journey and it made them a better person.
I love that.
Yep. Yeah. If you know, like that would be the ultimate, you know, like, you know, it just feels like when I was around him, I felt like a better person. And you know, I think that would, you know, short and sweet, I think that would be enough for me.
Yeah. And I see that for you. So those that are driving and listening, you know, you've got such a great outlook on everything, Trent, and then your smile, and it shows what you say. And to say that, like, people, I could see people saying that exactly what you said, and, you know, that you helped them along. You actually helped your parents along your journey too. I feel like you helped comfort them in some way, you know, and that you never quit. And that's the message, you know, if we were to summarize this, you know, podcast today and this YouTube video, is that never quit. Like, no matter what life throws at you, you can still become a Shiro. And I love to say Shiro even for men, because it's not about being a female hero for me. It's really about becoming stronger, becoming happier, becoming empowered, becoming radiant, becoming that original self you're supposed to be. And you as a guy can be exactly that, because I see you as an example of what a Shiro is. I see you as somebody who is stronger. I see you as somebody who is happier. You know, even though you're dealing with all these challenges, you're still finding happiness. I see you're empowered to share. You're empowered to
it's
share.
It's hard.
It's hard, right? Yeah. It's hard, but you choose.
Hey, you know, like, you know, we come here and we talk about these things, but man, I'm having some tough times.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy for me right now.
Right.
But, God, they're there, but I'm not going to focus on that.
Right. And I think that's what, you know, again, that goes back to being that Shiro, because we make that choice of, you know, I may not feel strong today, but I'm going to find happiness in my weakness. Right. I may not feel empowered today, but I'm going to find strength in trying to become empowered. Right. So that's, yeah. You know, you are exactly what a Shiro in our, in my world of what I coach is.
Cool.
And I just love, I'm so glad we're able to share your story today. And so I know our time has flown by. I'm looking at it and going, oh my gosh, our time has flown by. So how can people reach out to you if they want to talk to you more about your story or ask you questions?
Yeah. I'm on Facebook and that's kind of probably my main social media thing. I'm on Insta as well. And I'm Trent Brock. And my photo is me doing the victory, kind of stance. If you see me, and or if you want to hit me up with an email, it's TrentBrock@yahoo.com. I find a lot of happiness myself in just helping others in any way that I can, you know, with stuff like this. And so, hey, if you want to give me a shout, I'm here.
And we'll put all of that in the show notes. So we have our Better Questions, Better Life cards. Trent already knows I'm going to shuffle them. So tell me when to stop and we'll read your card.
Just hit me one in the middle. That's cool.
All right. Here we go. Let's see what you got. How am I influencing others? I mean, I think we've done that today, but right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, I come on, I do these podcasts for people and, I'm one of the authors in Michelle Jewsbury's book that's coming out.
Yep.
And then I'm working on my own, full story. You know, one chapter wasn't enough, to kind of tell the whole thing. And there's a lot of details I'm trying to do a little public speaking and some things like that, you know, when I get some opportunities. So, and awesome. I'm still running my business too. So,
I love it, and
on the side dealing with this health stuff and, gosh, you know, that's enough.
Just keep swimming, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, you just get up, you keep going. And hey, if you're a little slow, that's okay. And you know what? It's all right if you're having a bad day. You know, one of the things that really helped me is, it got so heavy with this life and death. And, like, is this decision, I'm going to die if I make this decision.
Right.
And I just started playing, this is the game of life, right? You know, it's the game of life. And for me, I turned it into a football game. And hey, if you're having a bad day, you made a bad play. Everybody does. You lose a few yards, take a timeout.
Yeah.
You know, go over to the sidelines, talk to your coach.
And that's so important.
For me, for me, it's like, hey, if I'm in a funk, I'm taking the afternoon off.
Yeah. Okay?
And I'm doing what I need to do. I'm trying to get myself back on track. And the next day when I get up, man, I'm going after it again. I'm getting back in the game, right? Because you can't just, it's not going to work. It doesn't work for you. You just don't keep going.
I love it. I mean, I love the boundaries and just keep going. Take a time, self-care. That's what I talk about. Take a time out for you for the day. And so with that, we're hitting the top of our hour. I just want to remind everybody, we'll put everything in the show notes so you can reach out to Trent. I want to thank you for coming. And I want to remind everybody that as we come into this world, we're a little rough oyster on the outside. We have a lot of work to do on the inside. But once you do, you start finding your inner pearl to greatness. And I hope all of you go out today and I hope you all keep swimming and keep finding your inner pearl to greatness. Have an amazing day. You've been listening to me for a little while, but I wanted to really explain to you what a Shiro is. You hear me talk about on the radio show and the podcast often about what is a Shiro. And what I want you to know is a Shiro is you. You are listening today and you are a Shiro. But what do I mean you're a Shiro? So a Shiro is somebody who is strong. You have so much strength and maybe you don't know it. Maybe you're not seeing it inside yourself. And you need help tapping into that. And that's what I love to help women do is to find your strength within and help you pour it out of yourself, help you become the strong person you are. And H stands for happy. You know, we all want to be happy, but sometimes finding the roadmap to happiness isn't easy. And so sometimes we have to help make that deep dive into answering heartful, soulful questions about what does it really mean to be happy? What brings me joy? What do I need to say no to so that I can become the person I want to be and the strong person I want to be that's also happy? And then empowered. You are empowered just by listening to this podcast that we do or the radio show, to be the person that you are meant to be, that person inside, that little girl that's inside, just waiting to come out. We want to empower you through our Shiro method to become that strong, happy, empowered person that you are. But it's not an easy step. So, you know, we have to cut through the fluff and the excuses and the drama and the mess so that we can make that progress. Because as we start making the progress, then what happens is you start seeing the radiant you. You start arriving at the level that you've created, that divine roadmap, where you're finally starting to live intentionally. And as you live intentionally, then you realize your strength really is powerful, that your happiness is meaningful, and that you are empowered to pay it forward to others, to do the things you want to do without guilt, because you deserve it and because your radiance is showing. And then as you work through that progress, then what happens is you become your original self. You become that authentic you that you're supposed to be. Like, you've done that deep soulful work and you're starting to make that path of satisfaction and that happiness you've been craving. And so you start laying down the foundation of your success. When you wake up in the morning, you find yourself looking in the mirror and realizing that you don't recognize your old self anymore, that you see yourself reflected everywhere in your stride, your relationships, your career, and even your hobbies. So as you align your outward trajectory with that inward path, you start gaining that clarity and that confidence and courage to focus and follow your internal direction. So really, that's what a Shiro is. And it's not easy to get there, right? We need to learn the steps to become that true Shiro, to tap into those superpowers that you have within. And that's why we have what's called our Shiro League. And if you want to join a community of women that are working on exactly these things that we're talking about, that are becoming strong, that are happy, that are empowered, that are radiant and original, that want to tap into things that bring them joy and say no to the things that don't let them enjoy the things that they want to do. We meet every Sunday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on Zoom. No makeup. If you want makeup, you can, but just come in to be your radiant self, to be that original person you are. Because really, as you look at your biggest sources of stress, we want to help you with our Shiro League and our Shiro method to help you listen to that internal compass so you can start decluttering your distractions and really identify what's really missing in your life. Like, what brings you joy? And what, we're not talking foo-foo feeling stuff, like really what fills your cup? What makes you so happy to put your cape on first? And as we do that and you become that Shiro you're meant to be, then what happens is you are radiant. You have created an opportunity to release what you need to say no to so that you can start fulfilling your purpose. So you can start stepping out of your comfort zone and really into what brings your joy. And our Shiro Method Roadmap is that crucial step of helping you to live the life you want to be that Shiro you want to be, to tap into what it is you deserve to do, what it is you've been desiring to do. And listen, if you're a mom and you've got kids and you're a working mom outside the house, you're not all about the mom title. You are Pearl. You are Sue. You are Jacqueline. You are Stella. You are somebody that matters and somebody that has goals and visions that deserves to create that divine roadmap so that you finally begin and, like I said, live your life intentionally. So if you're ready to do that and you want some help with that, I would love to invite you to a free call with me. Just let's talk about where you're at, how you get to where you want to go. What are your goals? What brings you joy? What do you need to say no to? And I would love to help you peel back those layers so that you can arrive at the real answers so that we can cut away the fluff and the excuses and the drama and help you make that real progress. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next 30 seconds. And if you are here and you're listening, then you know that we are about putting ourselves first. We're about putting that cape on first. We're about finding your true authentic self and learning how to overcome people pleasing and start tapping into your superpowers. Because as you tap into your superpowers, you then can take care of those you love, the things you love to do, even better than what you're doing today. Because when you put yourself first, you can become the Shiro that you're meant to be. And your superpowers will help even take care of your family and your loved ones to a much bigger success than you're already doing. So if you're ready to tap into your superpowers and ready to find out how to become your true Shiro, I want you to email me, shiro@pearl@wsliving.com. That's shiro@pearl@wsliving.com. and I would love to help you become the Shiro of your life. Hi, my name is Pearl Sharenza, and I'm with Women Successful Living. And I want to tell you a little story. You see, once upon a time in the middle of COVID, I noticed that more and more women were overwhelmed. We were having to balance households. We're having to become teachers. We're having to work our job while we're trying to become a teacher. We were sitting in our home with our children and our spouses or our loved ones and feeling overwhelmed. We were lost for where we're going to find space in our own house. So I was feeling that this overwhelm was stressing women out more, that they felt like they could not have a Calgon take me away moment. They felt like everywhere they turn, somebody in the house would find them or their job wanted them on another Zoom meeting. And I just felt so sorry for these women as I spoke with them and felt the pain because I too was feeling sorry. I was feeling sorry that I couldn't go out and do the things I love to do. I could go out, yes, and take a walk and sit on my front swing, but I couldn't go to the community meetings and the fundraiser functions or go have lunch with a friend or go to the movies with my husband or just take a moment away from everything that we're responsible for as moms and wives in our homes, right? You become that CEO mom and you're running a household. But then if you're working outside of the household, not only are you a CEO mom, and if you're asking what a CEO mom is, that's a mom who is running the household. Because let me tell you, you're not sitting around eating bonbons every day. You truly are running a business of a home. But then maybe you also work outside of the home. And here you are, you're trying to balance working in the home, working outside the home. And then maybe you have children and you're having to learn how to become a teacher because bless our teachers, they are trying to learn a whole new way of teaching through Zoom. And so as I spoke to the women in my community and my clients, I found they were also feeling all this overwhelm. They were becoming stressed. They were sitting in the home with all their children and their spouse, and they're going, I'm with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I love you, but I don't love you that much. Were you feeling that way too? So I found as they were feeling this way that I had to do something. And every day, about a month after into the pandemic, I decided to try something new. I decided to create a space where we could meet via Zoom. And yes, I know, another Zoom meeting, really, Pearl? But I just knew that was the only way that we could get together. And the rule was you had to go in a room where you could put a note in the door and say, I'm on a break. I'm on a timeout. Whatever you wanted to call it, you could make that note on your door. Because really, we have to take time for ourselves in order to really take time and care for our family, our loved ones, and our job the way we know we want to and we need to. So what I did is I created what we called our self-care Sunday evening. And it actually became Shiro's is what we ended up naming it. Because we as women, we are the hero of the house. We're the hero of everything we do for our family, our friends, our job, whatever that is that you're responsible for, right? But are you really the hero for yourself? So that became important to me. So one day I decided I want to pour into these women. So I brought them together in a Zoom meeting. We met Sunday evening, 8 p.m. We finished up by 9 p.m. We just had conversations. What was challenging them? What was the pandemic bringing up for them? How were they doing mentally? Were they doing something to take care of themselves? And if you heard me before, I say bathtubs and taking baths are not self-care, but really during the pandemic, sometimes that's all you could do was get in a tub with bubbles and take a few minutes for yourself, right? So as we poured into them, I noticed that they were starting to enjoy the self-care. They were starting to be less stressed. They were starting to communicate better with their family and their loved ones because they could communicate why they were taking time for themselves. They were able to communicate that it's not that I don't love being with you. It's that because I love you so much, I need time for myself. So on Sunday evenings, we worked on things about self-care challenges. We created a challenge of self-care where every day they had to do something. It could be something that took them 1 minute, or if they wanted to, it could be something that took them an hour. But it was their job to do something for themselves every single day. And then because of that, they saw that their family, they were worried that their family might make them feel guilty. So we started incorporating ways that they could do self-care for ourselves as we also did something with our family, right? So in some cases, we found that we had moms sitting and just watching TV, silly cartoons with their children. That's self-care, right? Or maybe playing a puzzle game or putting a puzzle together. And then when it came to their spouses, we found that they were sitting and finding movies on Netflix or writing playing cards, or even we gave him a challenge. We have a friend that has these great cards. They're called Better Questions, Better Life. We even would pull a card and have a discussion with our loved one around that card. And then as they were working from home, some of our professional women were finding that their jobs were having much more demand on them. But because they were home, they could actually kind of have more time they could grab for them. Oh, well, you're home all day long, so you really don't need to take a break. So they started finding that some of their jobs and their bosses were expecting them to give more. So we talked about how to set boundaries around our schedules. We talked about how to set boundaries around how much we want to be on Zoom. And as we did that, we found that the women were less stressed and they were actually performing their job performance better. They were having better and more improved relationships with their loved one, with their children. And some of them also had family that were in nursing homes. So we were creative on how to spend that time with their loved ones, but also making sure that they were taking care of themselves. So as we did this, I saw that it was a need that needed to continue. So even though the pandemic, as we know it today, is over, I found that the women loved this so much, we needed to continue this. And who knew that 3 years ago when I started this, that it would grow into what we have today, this amazing community of women that we still meet every Sunday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. We talk about things that bring us joy. We talk about challenges we're having in our lives. We're talking about things we're having to overcome. We have some women that are struggling in their marriages. We're talking about how we pour into them and how to help them work through communication. We have amazing, amazing guest speakers that come in every month. We've had Jane Pilger come in and talk up to us about our mind and the neurological part of our mind when it comes to our eating and our health and sugar and how it affects our body. We've had Seth Santora come in and talk to us about the smile method and how we have things such as just the smile within us that can make things like mock acceptance, where we're accepting things because we think we have to accept them. Like, for instance, my loss of my son, Matthew. I never knew that when I created this group 3 years ago, almost now, how much I needed these women. And because I have this community of women around me, I met Seth. And Seth taught me about mock acceptance. And he taught me that, yes, I was accepting the loss of my son, but I wasn't truly believing that he was lost. And I was sort of like going through the motions. So ever since I have put this group together, this community of women, we have watched the women flourish. We have watched them have less stress. We've watched them communicate better with their loved ones. We've watched them put boundaries around their self-care so that they can achieve the things they want to, so that they can put their cape on first as they pour into their family even better. And ever since we've started this self-care Shiro group, it has grown where we now at our retreats, we have women joining us during our retreats. We meet every year. We have a retreat in September. It's a pajama retreat. You come in your PJs, no makeup. You have about 4 days at the beach, sometimes the mountains, depending on the year. We just have sessions and breakout groups on how do we improve on our self-care? How do we continue to communicate our needs to our loved ones? How do we find what our goals are and our visions are, and how do we bring those to fruition? Because how many of you ever sat back and said, I have this big goal and I really want to do it, but nobody believes I can do it. I want you to know that we believe in you. And we know that you can do it. And so if this is something that you want to learn more about and come and enjoy a great way to end your week and begin your week, I would love for you to join us, because on top of our speakers, we also have an amazing meditation coach where she empowers us to sit down and just take some quiet time for ourselves and just be in our own space as we reflect on what we truly want within. And I am so honored to watch the progress and the growth that the women in this community have accomplished. And I cannot wait to see what's coming up for all of them and hopefully for you. And if this is something you would love to learn more about, I would love to invite you to come and visit us one Sunday evening. Like I said, it's a great way to end your week and a great way to start your week. What better to know that you've got a balcony of people sitting and waiting for you to join them, have a cup of tea maybe, and just do some laughing, maybe a little crying, but no matter what, know that you've got a girlfriend there to have your back. So if you're ready to check out the Shiro League, I would love for you to join us. All you have to do is email me at pearl@wsliving.com. That's pearl@wsliving.com. And I would love to connect you. I hope today you know that we've all come into this world. We're a little oyster. We might be a little rough on the outside, but on the inside, you have a pearl. And I hope you find your pearl to greatness today as you become the Shiro I know you are. My name is Pearl Sorenza. Do you know what your score is for your self-care? Find out today. Go to pearlssurvey.com. That's pearlssurvey.com and see what your score is today.